How many in here enjoy a good home project? Yep, I can break things as good as the next guy, right? I can make a mess. I'm good at the demo portion of the project. The perfection of putting it all back together. I'm grateful for a father and a father-in-law. Oh man, we have done our fair share of home projects throughout the years, and just recently we're doing one. We're replacing the backsplash, putting tile up at our kitchen, and just watching this unfold. And it's amazing how a little bit of just a little bit of TLC can transform a room, right? Okay, how many love the project side of things? Show of hands again, real quick. You enjoy that side of things? How many like getting a good deal on the stuff that makes it happen? I got any bargain hunters in here? Okay, I have a tidbit for you. Did you know that at the Home Depot, every single sales associate can give you a 10% discount?
What?
Frank Blake, who is the CEO of Home Depot several years ago, put a policy into place that put the power of a discount into the hand of every employee at the Home Depot. That's amazing. All right, I was listening to this leadership podcast and listening to him talk about this, and he was sharing how there was a little bit of resistance at the beginning because everybody just assumed if you give everyone the opportunity to give a discount, that we're going to end up giving out a lot of discounts, right? And there's the fear that people will take their power too far, as if every person who walks to the store, if a sales associate knows they can give them a discount, that they're going to begin to give a discount to every person who walks to the store. But it's not what happened. In fact, what happened was sales associates, the workforce, took the responsibility seriously. And that empowerment didn't lead to misconduct. In fact, what it did is it led to greater customer service and greater attentiveness and connectedness to people's problems and complaints. That's incredible. The power in someone's hand to do something didn't automatically mean bigger messes. But something inside of us always has a little hesitation. Like if I give you the opportunity to do something and then I go, there's no strings attached, that people will take advantage of that and take it to the nth degree. How many know what I'm talking about? There's a little bit of caution in all of us. You know, I'm a parent. I have 8 children. And I know the dance. If I give permission, right, for something, there is that little, I feel the caution, the dread in my heart that the word's going to get out and the rest of them all know that this is possible now. And now it's going to spread like wildfire, and what was a privilege for one person now all of a sudden becomes a right for everybody. And so the tendency in my heart is to hold back a little bit. It's to try to restrain. It's to give conditions. It's to control. But there's this there's a proverb that talks about if you force your way, it'll steal the life out of the experience. In other words, if I try to control, then it will steal the life-giving experience out of whatever it was that I was trying to control. If you force your way, it won't be a good experience. Has anybody else had this kind of experience in a life where you know it's well-meaning, but as soon as it becomes a law, it's a problem? Anybody? I'm going to get myself in trouble today, and we're going to have a party doing it. It's going to be great. I served in the United States military, and in the service, soldiers, their job is to be in precarious situations, And if you get sent into a combat zone, they put a weapon in your hand, and it's loaded. And which by itself, if you think about this, we send our 18 and 19-year-olds into situations and ask them to make critical decisions in an intense situation where they can, by the single squeezing off of a round, start a war. That is some empowerment. And you know what? Because there is clarity in the rules of engagement, we don't end up with major warfare like every time that happens. Are there mistakes people make? Sure. But does it happen all the time? No. It's a pretty incredible idea, actually, that you are given a loaded weapon, and that loaded weapon doesn't mean you're going to create a mess. People, individuals, can be responsible. Can you get your head around that one? Or you're not sure you can be trusted with this answer? All right, let's just think about it. I want you to use your brain. Turn your brain on today. Click, okay? Okay, we're not on autopilot. Critical thinking is necessary for today's message, okay? If you have the opportunity to do something, does it mean you're going to do it? Nope, opportunity does not mean action. It just means opportunity. It means powerful decision-making skills are necessary. Critical thinking means I can determine what is best for a situation. Rules of engagement require every soldier to be critically minded. They are going to have to make powerful decisions. Just because there is the threat doesn't mean they should squeeze off a round. Just because it's an intense situation doesn't mean that you should pull the trigger. The power is put in each soldier's hands, the same way that a discount is put in the hands of a Home Depot employee. Some of you are trying to predict where I'm going with this. Oh, don't worry, it gets deep. We'll get there. Every one of us are living in a world right now that is desperate for Jesus. Desperate. Jesus is the solution. If it doesn't matter what the situation is, if you insert Jesus, the manifested Christ, into that situation, a resolution will come. Do you know that that is true in every generation? That was true in the Cold War. That was true in Vietnam. That was true in hostile and highly polarizing situations, highly political situations, highly violent situations, where there is injustice rampant. If you insert Christ, positive things happen. The gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, is the sozo for the world, the saved, set free deliverance. When you insert Christ into a painful place, he brings healing. If you insert him into a place without hope, there is hope. If you insert Jesus into any situation, he is the answer. In our moment, right now, in this time in history, the answer is Jesus. And I got good news for you. You and I are locked and loaded, baby. Okay, would you look at your hands right now? Go like this to me. Give me some jazz hands. Look at your hands and repeat after me. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. That was Christ. He came and he declared, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, locked and loaded. Scripture also says that it was in the fullness of time that he manifested himself. The kingdom of heaven was at hand. Kingdom is the solution. Heaven invading earth is the solution. It solves all our problems. Jesus manifested in time, in the perfect time, and get it, wait for it. He waited 30 years before he did anything. The solution existent, but picked a moment to release the solution. We have a world that is in desperate need, and we have a God who has put power in the hands of every single believer. And if you were here last week, you heard us talk about the way that the kingdom, the way that Jesus interacted with sickness, where he would heal them all, how there's no deficiency on heaven's side of the equation. There is a journey that man is on, and there's faith required to access the full provision, that there is access granted and opportunity all over the place, but that humanity is in a process, that we are taking steps forward, and that we have to take action. There's a process that you and I play in this reality, that heaven has all sufficiency and all provision and every solution. And then we have humanity on a journey, and men and women of faith having to access that all provision to release it here in time. And you and I get the privilege of being those world changers. Those people who are locked and loaded and ready to rock. We also have been given the responsibility to engage this world under the rules of engagement, the protocol of heaven. That just because you can doesn't mean you should. That everything is permissible, but not everything is. Oh. Everything is permissible. Okay, we love that part of the verse. Liberty! Woo! Freedom! Pew-pew! Not everything's beneficial. What that means is consequences for decisions. And these two things are tension-oriented things. That these realities of I can, but it doesn't mean I should, somewhere in the middle here is a powerful person with a locked and loaded weapon who's going to have to make a critical decision whether they should. And that's you and I. This is the discussion today. We're going to talk about the rules of engagement and what's necessary for our time of history, this moment in time, for the body of Christ, how we can live in such a way where we are innocent as doves and wise as serpents, and we are kingdom-bringing, anointed, powerful people bringing solution to the world around us. Just like those soldiers and just like the Home Depot, when there's clarity for protocol, responsibility and consequences are easy to see and you know how to insert yourself. But when we don't have any protocol, that is where messes ensue, people blame each other, and we have problems. Today's discussion is going to be an attempt for me to share some kingdom values with you so that we have a little bit of protocol for this moment of history, so that in the fullness of our time, we can manifest the Christ. Are you with me? Yeah. You up for this journey? Yeah. It's going to be fun. It also might be offensive, but it wouldn't be the house if it was anything different. So let's do it. Here we go. Heaven's mandate, the mandate of heaven. Jesus came. He brought the kingdom of heaven. Scripture says a few things about his ministry. This is what he did, right? The mandate of heaven is that the kingdom, the rule and reign of our king, would be advanced in the earth. Can you say amen to that? That the gospel, the good news, is to be preached to all people in every generation. Do I get an amen for that one? Okay, amen. The works of the devil are to be destroyed by forcing them under the feet of Jesus. Now you're getting it. The earth is to be transformed. That it's supposed to be on earth as it is in heaven. And that you and I have been left behind with a job. Did you get that? Some of you, all right, yeah. Okay, that was bordering on dad joke there, but only for people in the know. So, this mandate was laid by Christ, who is the chief apostle. He is the main apostle of our faith. The apostolic means sent. It was heaven who sent Christ Jesus to establish the will of heaven on earth. Jesus, our chief apostle, establishes the mandate. He passes it off to the apostles after him, whose job is to commission other believers to also stand on the foundation, the apostolic foundation of what Christ has done, and to advance the kingdom in our generation. And you and I are still functioning in that reality today. That apostolic mandate has not moved. It has not changed. The time that we live in has got no bearing on the mandate of heaven. The mandate of heaven, the foundation laid by Christ, is not shakable. This thing is established. This is what we are called to do. No matter the circumstance, no matter the time, no matter what it's like out there in the big, bad, dark world, our job to advance his kingdom, to preach the gospel, to destroy the works of the devil, to see all things on earth become like heaven. It's the calling of every believer. It's your calling. Okay? Can I get a witness up in here? It's my calling. It's your calling. The goal line, if you will, does not change. Has not changed and will not change. However, the season and time does bring a bearing on what and when and how we manifest this mandate. In the scripture, there's this character named David. Anybody familiar with that name? We know him as King David, right? He started off as a shepherd boy, and the prophet finds him, anoints him to be king. He ends up in a wild journey, and it culminates in him becoming the king of Israel. David is on the back 40, worshiping God with his little harp, and at the same time, you know, chopping down bears and lions. He's out there passionately worshiping Jesus, and then he gets anointed by God to be king. And next thing you know, we see him lopping off the head of a giant. And David, this most likely like a 15-year-old kid, spends the remainder of the day after he lops off the head of the giant just carrying it around with him as if it's a souvenir. He is both passionate and brutal. In his story, in the story leading up to his kingship, his process is very much like a warlord. He has his little band of merry men traveling around with him, but instead of robbing the poor or robbing the rich and giving to the poor, he just is killing everybody. That's King David, putting whole cities to the sword. His story is violent. It's not a clean story, but what we love about him is that the scripture says that David was a man after God's own heart. Passionate worshiper. I mean, he brings the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem and literally dances his clothes off. Just wild before God, right? We also know some things about his personality. For instance, he's not a emotionally stable. David is not emotionally stable. Read the Psalms. This guy is, Lord, why did you forsake me? I can't believe my enemies are all around me. We're gonna die. But then I saw you, God. You were in the sanctuary. And when I entered the sanctuary, we got filled with the anointing. We're lopping off the enemy's heads. And we'll tread down our enemies before you. All in 10 verses. David is, but he's a man after God's heart.
Passionate, zealous.
David in his lifetime advances the kingdom of Israel, if you will. He advances the kingdom. He goes to war with all the enemies of God. He pushes back the borders. He establishes Jerusalem. He's just doing all these amazing things. He's hot after God's presence. Loves the presence so much, he tries to bring the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. But we know that story. We've told it recently. He wants to build God a house, a permanent place in Jerusalem. And when the idea in his heart is the correct idea. God praises him for it. But God tells him, you are disqualified. You can't build my house. David advances the kingdom through war, fire, power. We see this promise, though, of building the house of God passed on to his son. And it says that Solomon is going to be the one to build the house of God. Solomon takes up the kingship. He now is king and he's anointed. And it says about Solomon that Solomon's a man of peace, right? He makes love, not war. He's totally into architecture. David, his dad, burned buildings down. Solomon likes to build them. Solomon fortifies all the cities along the trade route and quickly becomes a business warlord, if you will, in the world. Wealthy kingdom, entrepreneurial heart, and gets to build God's heart house. He's also a worshiper. But Solomon's ministry, if you will, looks, I mean, it could not be more different than his dad's. King David, warlord, passionate worshiper, you know, advancing the kingdom by force. Solomon, peaceful, putting all war behind them, creates peace in the world. Entrepreneurial heart, so filled with wisdom that the world is seeking an audience. They want to know what Solomon has to offer. The kingdom is also being advanced in Solomon's day through diplomacy. It's the same throne that David sat on and Solomon sat on. It is the same anointing that rested on Solomon's life and marked David's life. It is the same prophetic utterance that they both heard concerning the futures of Israel. It's the same role. It's the same God with two very different outcomes. Both advanced the kingdom, both under the same anointing, same role, same function, same everything. Why did it look so different? Because it was a different season. Because what worked in one season is not automatically what works in the next. Because the anointing, while God is consistent and his works are consistent and the kingdom is to be advanced, how you go about doing that does look different depending on the context. David advanced through war. Solomon advanced through wisdom. They are not opposed to one another. It was the season that determined which led. Are you alive? Context is king. Romans 12:14 says this, bless those who persecute, bless, do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Function is expressed through context. If the context is rejoicing, join them. If the context is weeping, you don't bring rejoicing into the weeping context. The protocol of engagement when it comes to the kingdom becomes a process of how do we recognize what's going on in a situation. See, God is not changing, and his desire is very clear and obvious. We can see the kingdom desire all things on earth as they are in heaven. What's changed in our moment of history is our context. See, in the Cold War era, we all hid under desks. So that's what school children did. They hid under desks. Did anyone remember doing those drills? You hide under your desk? Anybody? Okay. The few number of people that raise their hands right now, by the way, there's a bunch of you that are liars, I can see. I know you hid under desks. But can I tell you that the younger generation has no idea what we're talking about and they don't know why? Right? History needs to be explained because the context and the threat determined the action. We don't hide under desks today. We put plexiglass up and we cover them in masks. And we keep them at home. It's a new situation. And our actions in that context is to protect our kids. When it comes to the kingdom, there are protocol that help us to make decisions as to what is appropriate and what will engage and release kingdom in the most beneficial way. And if we had a little bit of language, it would really help us to have open dialogue so that we don't mandate and steal the life out of this situation, so that we don't control and end up with a spirit of religion. Okay, hold on. And we don't overreact when something is asked of you and end up in a spirit of politics. Because that reaction thing that's going on to you every time someone asks you to put a mask on is a political spirit. Don't allow it access. So you and I need to have an open discussion about this because we are a people called to advance the kingdom no matter what the heck's going on out there. Right. And by the way, remember these? You're locked and loaded. So if we had a little bit of language and some protocols, I bet we could end up with a unified front that actually gets some really good stuff done. Or it's the desire of every, you know, I guess not every little boy, but it doesn't take too many Westerns to want to be like John Wayne, right? It doesn't take too many war movies to want to be like Rambo. I'm working my way up, don't worry. Right? Gen Xers, it doesn't take many shoot 'em ups for you to have your inner Neo pop out. Matrix. Right? Or young generation, right? It doesn't take too much like, oh, confront me and have your John Wick jump out. There's something in us that's like, I am locked and loaded and just try me. Because I really do believe that you're courageous and that you are made to make a difference and that that fight or flight thing in you isn't all bad. It just needs to be matured. The context actually matters. Otherwise, we do damage. Light confronts darkness. If I turn the lights off right now and we blacked out all the windows and it was perfectly dark in here, we would look and we go, ooh, look how dark it is. But all it would require is one light switch, pop, and there is no confusion. There is just straight confrontation and darkness exits. It doesn't get to say anything. It has no power in the situation. It doesn't even get to scream as it's getting thrown out the door. It's literally that simple. Light on, darkness gone. That is the kingdom. That's what you're locked and loaded with. That is who God is inside of you. You show up and light has the ability to shine. As long as you insert it in the correct context. Light is going to be confrontive. However, if
you are a person who is a conflict-oriented person and you just want the conflict, what light also does is it, in a long-term sense, is what creates persecution. Because light confronts. And darkness does not like to be exposed. And so darkness will shrink back or it will fight. And we live in a world right now with 7.5 billion people who need to hear Jesus. So I am asking the question. I am begging the answer. Where is the people group who will set aside the petty arguments about genealogies and food sacrifice to idols and whether dancing's allowed in church or playing of cards or poker, movies? How many of these things have we grown up with as contradictions and issues in our lifetime where we're like, we have liberty. You can't tell us what to do. But don't realize that every time we take a stand like that on a petty disagreement, that we alienate ourselves often from the people that are needing to hear the truth. See, you are locked and loaded, but how you handle yourself, how you conduct yourself, how you demonstrate love for your neighbor over yourself is going to determine if they can receive the gospel or not. And the world is watching the church right now. And what are we putting on display? For the sake of your right. I told you, I'm going to get up on your stuff today. I'm going to be offensive, but we're going to have fun doing it. All right, let's get on to some fun. Yeah. You're like, oh, okay, God, woo, see that. Language is important because it helps us to discern, okay, a moment, moment to moment. There's three phrases that are in the scriptures that are very, very helpful for walking us through this. One is found in Proverbs 25:11, okay? Proverbs 25:11 says this, like apples of gold in settings of silver is a word spoken in the right circumstance. Like an apple of gold in a setting of silver is a word spoken in the right circumstance. Okay, it's prophetic imagery. The phrase here that we're going to key on is right circumstance. What's the right circumstance? For what? For the apple of gold. A setting of silver. Silver speaks prophetically of redemptiveness. It's the redemptive nature of a life. Silver speaks of it was an impure substance and then fire has touched it and it, the dross is removed and it becomes a vessel that's usable. That's silver. That's you and I. We are vessels who have been redeemed. Apple of gold, the gold itself is the divine. It's the touch of God that has come into your life. It's the right word. It's the gift of God. It's the grace. It's that God imparted something to you. It's the, I got a prophetic word, and it is absolutely what God is saying to a person. It's an apple of gold. It's the gift. It's the healing. It's the grace. It's the breakthrough. It's heaven imparting something, and it's going to change everything. As long as it's in a vessel of silver, a right circumstance. The divine word gets hindered when it is placed in a circumstance that is not able to receive it. There's another proverb. It talks about the gold hoop in the snout of a pig. It doesn't belong there. The context is all wrong. Our pearls of great price that God did something for us. If you just give them and throw them at the feet of someone not prepared to receive them, they just trample them down and get mad at you. Context matters. Did you know that Jesus stands at the door of your life and he knocks? Which is the most absurd statement, that God is knocking and asking if you want to have fellowship. And that it's your heart that opens to receive it, or it's your heart that closes to deny it. That tells you that the apple of gold requires the open door of someone's life to receive it. Right circumstance speaks of your power. See, you are that vessel of silver, and God speaks to you, and he's done a divine work in you, and you have something to give to the world around you. You are a solutionary. The apple of gold, the right word, God speaks to you. You might have the gift that that person needs. They're in sickness, and they need a healing, and God does it in you. God gives you the word, and the word, that prophetic word, that could be the very thing that they're waiting on. That could be the very thing that they need. They're desperate for it. But if you do it in a situation where they're unable to receive it, it's rendered useless. Offending, causing the heart to be closed, would be a silly thing to do if God is asking you to make sure that they receive the apple of gold. So much more to say around that. It's prophetic imagery, right? When Jesus came to earth, this is an incredible thought. He manifested in a manger. The heavens rip open. There's an army of angels that are there to defend him. It's not a choir, it's an army. It's a violent action. The choir of angels that announce themselves to the shepherds. No, no, no. This was a full-on military mission to get Jesus inserted into the earth. And it's violent. You know, we all sing about it. We're excited about it. We tell a story every Christmas. But did you know that very soon after, all of the babies in that village were killed, were murdered, because Christ manifested. War broke out in immediacy because of the manifestation of Christ. And then we don't hear from Jesus for 30 years. We don't hear from him for 30 years. What's he doing? He is the solution. He's the answer. Yet he waits for the right moment to reveal himself and to step into the ministry that would demonstrate his lordship. That is powerful. It's a loaded weapon in the hands of somebody that knows when the right moment is to pull the trigger. Second verse, Ephesians 4:29. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. Okay, that word unwholesome there, there might as well be a picture of Wonder Bread next to it. Just anemic, no nutrition, loaf of bread. Okay? Unwholesome. Let nothing come out of your mouth that won't give value. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word that is good for edification. And this is the phrase we're going to key in on, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Context is king. According to the need of the moment. That means that even if you have something valuable to say, that there might be a moment that it won't be able to be received. That it might give grace to those who hear. That means that when you minister, it has to benefit everyone that's an audience. It's not just about that person, and it's not just about you. This is revolutionary thoughts, by the way. Like, I need to consider other people? What? I need to think about the impact of my ministry in a group setting? Life-shattering. That it will give grace to those who hear. Need of the moment. This phrase is important, especially right now. See, we are a kingdom people that have the power of God at hand. We are those called to advance the kingdom. The question is, according to the need of the moment, is it a Davidic season where we go to war openly? We're kicking butt and taking names? Or is it a Solomon season where we might need to use some wisdom? Both advanced under the same anointing, under the same mandate, with different outcomes because of the season. You don't have to answer. 1 Corinthians 12, third verse. To each one, this one will blow your top, by the way, if you're not already too mad at me. Here we go. To each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. The phrase we're looking at here is common good. Holy Spirit manifests. That means that he shows himself strong. He shows up. The context is the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The nine functions of the Holy Spirit. The gifts. It's all the stuff we like to do. It's the everybody gets to play. Right? I mean, I ran a school of ministry here for the last basically 15 years where one of the primary functions of it was to put the power gifts in people's hands and help them to minister. One of my favorite functions of the school. I love the Holy Spirit mosh pit. I do. Throw someone in the middle, let's all hog pile on them and release the Holy Ghost and watch what happens. Right? I love fire tunnels. You know what a fire tunnel is? We're gonna put everybody in two lines, and then we're gonna start single filey, one by one, walking through the two lines from one end to the other, with everybody ministering at the same time, releasing the fire of God, the power of God. Every single time we did this, you'd have sane people on one side of it and absolutely bonkered, schnockered out of their brains, Holy Ghost filled people piling up on the other end. Because God encountered them somewhere in between. Miracles happening, people getting, you know, prophetic words, power released, people getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. Incredible. So much fun. That is an act of war. This has a context. The Holy Spirit mosh pit has a context. These are tools, not the mandate. The mandate is to see the good news preached. The mandate is to release the power of the Holy Spirit and to see the works of the devil broken off of people. But the context determines how you do that. Do you know that I am an altar call guy? I love them. I cannot wait to get back. Once we move in that big building over there, assuming the season changes, which, by the way, it will. It's going to change. Listen, we won't be locked. You no longer huddle under a desk. The season will change. I'm an altar call guy. I cannot wait to give altar calls, have people that are being stirred by the Holy Spirit come to the front and be able to release the word of the Lord over people and watch the power of God wreck them. Boom! It'll be awesome. We're gonna have to teach everyone to catch because of how much God will be doing in people. It has a context because that is a tool. That's not the ball game. Do you know that just as easily I can minister the word without getting in your face? If you think that that piece of cloth in front of your face hinders the Holy Spirit, I don't know what you're thinking. The thick veil that separated God's presence from God's people, a foot thick veil, has been rent, and it doesn't go back over people. And lest you be so offended that you can't hear this message anymore because you think I'm talking about masks, I'm not talking about masks. I'm talking about your heart. I'm talking about how you are approaching this season. I'm talking about that we're called to win a world right now. But the scripture says a brother offended is more impossible to win over than a walled city. And our actions might actually be offending the world instead of helping them to experience God's presence. Yeah. don't allow your life to be hindered. The common good means that the Holy Spirit shows up and demonstrates himself for the sake of what is needed in the group, not the individual. Gifts of the Holy Spirit can all function by faith, every one of them. I can prophesy over you right now. It doesn't take me waiting for the Holy Spirit to show up because the Holy Spirit is present. And by faith, I just access it. Boom. That's how it works. Okay, let me restate this, okay? All of us are in a combat zone, and every single one of us have been given a loaded weapon. You have a loaded weapon. The protocol for engagement should help us determine what is the right circumstance, what is the need of the moment, and what is for the common good. What that requires is maturity. But I have so much faith because if an 18-year-old kid can do it in a war zone, I'm pretty sure you can do it with your faith. A golf clap, I love it. It's a good putt, Pastor Jamie. That's a good putt. Come on. We have to be able to talk openly about this. You have to. If we can't have the conversation here, what do you think it sounds like in the world right now? What do you think it sounds like out there? Do you know the kind of accusation that's coming against the body of Christ right now? And I don't know what you think of all that. But when we give them reason to accuse, that's a bummer. Like if you go to jail and you're persecuted because of righteousness, that's one thing. But if you go to jail and you're persecuted because you're violating something that is supposed to be helpful for others, that's a bummer. Laws are made. Man, I'm just going to offend everybody today. It's fine. It's the last service. You got a week to forgive me. It's fine. Laws are created to enforce protocol when people abuse liberty. Laws are for the unjust, not the just. If the rule of love is ruling your heart, then you won't have any issue preferring your brother over yourself. I was reading this week, and I was reading the Apostle Paul's writings, and it was Luke's writings in the book of Acts. It was about the Apostle Paul, though, and he's saying goodbye to the church of Ephesus. He's going to Jerusalem because he's going to end up in prison. He already knows it. The Holy Spirit's told him. It's about to be a bad day. So he's saying goodbye to the elders of Ephesus, the church. And they're all weeping, they're crying, and he says this thing to them, and it struck me so hard, and I thought, okay, Lord, I get it. He said, I did not withhold anything from you that would be for your benefit, even if it offended you. Good. I love this thing that we're doing. I love worshiping with you. We're in a season right now that requires wisdom. We are made to advance the kingdom. We are made to see the works of Christ established in the earth. Jesus sent the word, healed them. Jesus raised the dead. He cleansed the lepers. He violated all sorts of protocols that were considered laws at the time for the benefit of a person. I see that. Right? This isn't a balanced conversation. I also understand that. But I'm hoping you can hear my heart today. Because our chief, like, who's in charge of the battlefield? Is it your pastor? Nah. Is it you? Nope. It's Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's the field general. He knows what's needed in that person. He knows what's going on. He knows what the need of the moment is. He knows what function of ministry that person needs. He knows what they need. So I can trust his leadership. Holy Spirit will put on your heart a person. He'll give you the apple of gold. He will give you the solution for people, the ministry that's needed. He'll give it to you. He'll impart to you what's necessary. But the setting of silver is in your hand. Holy Spirit will tell you which person needs ministry. He will put them on your heart, but he doesn't tell you necessarily, first of all, that now is the moment and only now. So often he asks us to be mature and use our brains. The setting of silver is in your hands. So here's what we're going to do, okay? I know that mandates steal life. They steal life. Control, it doesn't work, it'll be a problem. If we control, we're going to end up with the spirit of religion. If we use the law of liberty to be selfish, we're also going to end up in a problem. If we lean on liberty and are offended by forms of asking people to yield, then we're going to end up in a political spirit with camps. I've already heard your wonderful ideas of let's just have one side of the congregation with masks and the other side not. 9 a.m. services masked or vaccinated and the other services aren't. I'll let you decide whether that's a good idea or not. We're not going there. But what we have to be able to do is have an open dialogue about this. We have to. We have to be able to have conversations. And the conversations start with these three questions. Okay? Is this the right circumstance for that apple of gold? You're going, God told me. Awesome. God told you. Setting a silver is in your hand. Is this the right circumstance for you to be doing that? Second, is this the need of the moment? Is this the need of the moment? Is it going to give grace to everyone involved? See, these are clarifying questions. They help us to get to the heart issue. Is this, third question, for the common good? Does this benefit more than just me and that person? Is this about us? Because the Holy Spirit, when he manifests, he's wanting to do far more than we're already doing, way more. So here is what we're going to do. This is the conversation. I'm having it as raw as I can with you guys. Well, you're thanking me. The rest of us aren't sure. The scripture says that there's a clean manger where there's no ox. In other words, there's no messes if nobody's doing anything. But there's a lot of profit when you have an ox and everybody's working, everyone's doing the stuff. Which would you rather have? Do you want a clean, mess-free church that we're all sterile and we walk in here like this and there's no... Or are we looking for Holy Spirit ruling the day, God's power being manifested, like we might have some messes. But I'll tell you the same thing I tell my school of ministry students. I say, if you make a mess, you also get to clean it up. In other words, personal responsibility is necessary. But it's so hard to understand if you're responsible if there's not a protocol. That's why I'm saying to you today, let's choose. I'm appealing to you now. Let's choose. Like, does it fit the circumstance? Is it going to benefit everyone? Is it going to be for the common good? What's the need of the moment right now? Because right now, the Holy Spirit mosh pit might not be the best thing for the circumstance. The fire tunnel might not be the best thing for our circumstance. Doesn't mean that you can't. Holy Spirit lead you. But if you've ever asked the question, Pastor Jamie, I felt prompted by the Holy Spirit, to minister to that person. And God showed up and this awesome stuff happened, but we ended up with COVID. Here's the answer. You have all been given a loaded gun and you can pull the trigger anytime you want. Just because something is permissible doesn't mean it will be beneficial. The house church should be known for the fire of God, and we are and we will be, because there is a revival that is at hand. I am inviting you all, though, for this season, for this time, for to intentionally choose to be wise, to prefer and think beyond just you. Amen. Just stand to your feet today.
Love you, Pastor Jamie.
Thanks, I love you too. Discipline for the moment is not enjoyable, but it's always profitable. We love the Lord's chastenings. Have to. Life's better together, so let's not make it so we can't be together. Father, I bless your people today. I'm inviting you, Holy Spirit, not with a heavy hand, Lord, but recognizing you're here among us and you're doing so many amazing things. And I am asking, Holy Spirit, that you would come with a spirit of counsel to each one. Lord, help us to recognize what you're doing and, Lord, what the wise way of going about doing it is. Lord, I pray today that there would be a significant impartation that would take place and that ministry would not be restricted or restrained in any way, but Holy Spirit, that you would give us You give us wisdom and how to do that in a way that adds benefit to all. And Lord, I do pray, Father, for hearts, because it's been a rough season, Father, and isolation sucks. Lord, we want to be with one another and we want to minister to one another. And so we're putting this before you, Holy Father. We're asking now that you, Lord, would come, and that you would move powerfully in our lives, powerfully in this community. Lord, I do pray for deeper conversations and for the wrestling matches that are soon to happen in conversation. And I pray, God, for fellowship to be so deep and connective that nothing, Lord, would stand in the way of what you're wanting to do in this community. And God, I do pray for these things. And Lord, I'm asking for the restoration of the tools that we love to utilize. God, that you would give us reprieve. Holy Spirit, deliver us from this ridiculous virus. Bring the sword, Holy Spirit. God, today as a people, we decree among us the end of this virus among us. In Jesus' name. Lord, I am asking today, Lord, as there have been consequences among us in our body, Father, that you would come and you would touch their bodies and that you would heal them. Lord, that you would restore them. Father, that the things that have caused in brokenness, Lord, and now in bad consequences, Father, that you would step into those moments like the repairer of the breach and that you would restore them and heal them. God, I'm asking for this today. And Lord, I'm also asking just, Lord, your grace. Be gracious to us, Holy Father. Help us. Give us wisdom. Lord, our families need you. Our neighborhoods need you. Lord, our nation needs you. Lord, we present ourselves today as those ready to be used. We present our loaded weapons, God, kingdom of heaven at hand. Say, we're ready for duty. Holy Spirit, help us to advance your kingdom. God, I thank you for these things. Lord, I bless your people. In Jesus' name, we break off all forms of condemnation. I don't need you to feel bad. I need you to be wise. Break off condemnation, and I release your peace over every heart. And I'm asking now, Holy Father, that you would come upon them, strengthen them, bless them, Lord. We bless you today in the name of Jesus. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord's favor rest upon your life. May the Lord be gracious to you. And may he guard your life with his shalom, that everywhere you go, his kingdom would advance. I decree this blessing today in Jesus' mighty name. And if you dared to agree with this, you said, amen. Come on, can we give a good clap to the Lord today? Love you guys. Have an amazing, amazing week.